Tonight's shiur is titled Breaking the Luchos and Preparing for Pesach. And tonight's shiur is a Yahrzeit shiur in memory of my daughter, Abby Ginsberg. And the topic of the shiur tonight will be discussing the reasons behind Moshe's breaking of the Luchos and its connection to Pesach through the eyes of Chazal. So if we look in source number one, it's tied to this week's Parsha, Parsha's Kisisa. It's Perek Lamed Beis. And let's read the source inside on the source sheet. It says, "Vayifen, vayered Moshe minahar ushne luchos haidus biado luchos kisuvim mishne Avraham mize umize heim kisuvim." So when Moshe brought the luchos down, so the luchos are very very special because they were inscribed on both sides. And in Tes Zayin it says, "Valuchos maasei Elohim heima v'amichtav michtav Elohim hu charus al haluchos." And the luchos were made by Hashem directly, and the inscription and the engravement was from Hashem, and it was engraved on the luchos. So the Torah is telling us in these two psukim that the luchos are very special, and we're going to look into that as we go through the shir. And then in Yud Tes, I skipped a couple psukim, we get to the crux or the essential point that we're going to focus the shir on, which is Vayhi kasher karav el hamachane vayaris ha'egel mecholos. Vayichar af Moshe, vayashlich miyadav es haluchos, vayishaber osam tachas ahar. As Moshe came down, he had the luchos in his hands, and he saw the egel and the dancing of the Jewish people, and he got very angry, and he throws the luchos to the ground and shatters them, and they fall to the bottom of Har Sinai. So the Torah tells us in these couple psukim that the luchos are very special. They are very unique, which will, as I said before, we'll explain. But Moshe, he throws the luchos down. He's angry and he destroys the luchos, the first set of luchos. So the question is, why did Moshe do this? Why did Moshe break the luchos? What was the reason for this choice that Moshe made? So if we look in source number two, it's Rashi on the pasuk. Rashi on Vayashlech Miyadav in Pasuk Yates says, Amar. So what did Moshe say to himself? Ma Pesach shi achas min amitvos. Amra Torah kol ben nechar lo yochal bo. HaTorah kula kan v'chol Yisrael mishumadim betnen alohem. So Rashi explains that Moshe's logic for breaking the luchos was that he compared breaking the luchos to the mitzvah of Pesach. And the mitzvah by Korban Pesach is that a ben nechar, a Jew who we'll see later on, but it's a Jew who's an apostate, a Jew who doesn't keep the Torah, according to the Rambam, he does avodah zarah, he's not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. And if a Jew, he said, if a Jew can't eat from the Korban Pesach, so certainly if a Jew who's an apostate can't eat from the Korban Pesach, so certainly over here, the Jews are all doing avodah zarah, they're all involved in the egel, certainly I can't give them the whole Torah if one mitzvah like Pesach eliminates the possibility of an apostate from partaking in it, so certainly I cannot give the luchos to the Jewish people as they're worshiping avodah zarah. So that's the reason why Moshe broke the luchos, according to the Rashi, and we'll see inside the Gemara quotes the same idea. But it's based on a relationship between breaking the luchos and some idea that Moshe saw in Pesach that related to his breaking of the luchos. So of course there's a lot of questions on this Rashi, which is, the first question is, what is the connection between Pesach, mitzvahs Pesach, and the luchos? I mean, there's many other mitzvos where a person who's an apostate, who doesn't keep Kol HaTorah Kula, who openly breaks the Torah, is allowed to do other mitzvos. A person can do tzitzis, he can put tefillin on. But for some reason, Moshe's focusing on the one mitzvah, Pesach, and he's using that as the idea, as the basis for his breaking of the luchos. So that seems kind of extreme. So we have to understand what is the connection between Korban Pesach and the Isser, the prohibition for a Ben Nechar, a Jew who's an apostate, who's involved in Avodah Zarah, who's not keeping the Torah openly, and over here, the story of the Egel, and why Moshe used this to make such an extreme decision to destroy the Luchos. Okay, so we have to understand that. So we're going to broaden it a little bit. So if we look in the Gemara in Yevamos, the Gemara says that Moshe's decision to break the luchos was one of many decisions that he made independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara says in source number 3, it's the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Samach Bei Zamed Aleph, and it also is in Shabbos as well, Gemara Shabbos, Pei Zion. So the Gemara is discussing the area of how many children you need to have in order to be Yotzei the mitzvah. And it's a famous machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel holds that that a person has to have a boy and a girl to be yotze, and according to Beis Hillel, and Beis Shammai holds that you only have to have two boys, and it's based on Moshe, so because Moshe had two boys. So the Gemara says, "U Beis Hillel nami lil fumi Moshe." So why doesn't Beis Hillel learn from Moshe that the mitzvah is simply to have two boys, not to have a boy and a girl? So what's the Gemara's answer? Amri lach, Moshe midaite hu da'avad. So Moshe, he made an independent decision. And look in Rashi in source number 4. He says, midaite, mishum shechina, v'asr lishar kol adam lasos kein. So because Moshe was on his level, where he was always, we'll see in the Gemara, it's going to explain it. So he, because of Moshe's level, he separated from his wife and he no longer had any more children. Desanya, as it says in a Braisa, shlosha devarim asa Moshe midaita. So there are three decisions that Moshe made independently, v'skima daito l'dasa makom. And his mind agreed with the very idea that Hashem had as well. So Moshe came to the same conclusion as Hashem. So what are the three cases? So Pirish Mina Isha, the first one is that Moshe separated from Tzipora, v'shiber haluchos. And the second one, which is what we saw in Rashi, was that he decided on his own to break the luchos, to shatter them. The Hosef Yom Echad, and the third decision that he made independently was that when the Jews were preparing for Har Sinai, when Klal Yisrael were preparing, instead of them waiting 2 days, he added an extra day. So the Gemara is going to explain the logic that Moshe uses in each one of these cases, and we're going to have to understand how they all relate to each other. So it says, Pirish Mina Isha. So what was Moshe? Why did he decide to separate from Tzipora? So my Darash, what was his drasha? What was his logic? So Omar, he said, Uma Yisrael shalo dibra imahem shechina el lefisha v'kava lahem zman amra Torah al tikshu el isha. So if you see by the Jewish people as a whole, that before they got the Torah from Har Sinai, Hashem commanded them to separate from their wives. Ani shemiyuchad ledibor b'chol sha v'sha v'lo kava lizman. So myself, meaning Moshe, he realized that there was always an opportunity for him to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he never knew when that would happen. Al achas kam v'kama, so certainly I should separate from my wife. V'eskima daito l'das ha-makom, and he made the right decision there. Shenamar leich amor lahem shuvu lachem lo'aleichem, v'ata po amod imadi. It says in Va'eschanan that Hashem instructs the Jews that they're allowed to go back to their houses after Har Sinai, they're allowed to be with their wives again. But by Moshe, it says, you stay with me, meaning that Moshe's decision to separate from Tzipora, which was independent, so we have to understand, but he says that decision was really agreed upon by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even though Moshe violated a mitzvah saseh, he didn't have a boy and a girl, but he made this decision on his own, and it was agreed upon by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that just like the Jews had to separate from their wives in order to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to be in the presence pe'al peh, so too Moshe himself had decided for himself that he should separate from his wife because he never knew when he was going to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he always had to be therefore separated. So that's number one.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why do you derive from that having two boys is enough? Because he could have been exempt from having a boy and a girl under the circumstances.
You mean, why does Beis Shammai, how does he learn out from Moshe, from the case of Moshe?
Yeah.
Oh, I think there's a machlokes whether it was Moshe made this decision independently or it was from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu told them not that he didn't have to have any more kids, I think. So I think the
Gemara... Yeah, but
according...
But I don't see that necessarily leading to that conclusion that for the average person, because, you know, you could have been a person could be exempt from that mitzvah altogether if they're involved in something else where they wouldn't even have to have...
No, well, this side is learning that you can't learn from Moshe because they're saying Moshe's decision was only for Moshe and the average. In fact, that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that the reason why Beis Hillel does not learn out from Moshe is because Moshe was a unique situation and you can't learn out the halacha from Moshe because he was a special case. That's exactly. In fact, that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that Moshe was a special case over here. So that's the first. So the first idea is that Moshe decided on his own to stop having to separate from his wife, and Hashem agreed to it. But we can't learn out the halacha for Moshe because Moshe's decision was really a unique decision. It was independent. And in fact, look at Rashi in source number 4. He says, "Aser l'shar kol adam lasos kein." Man, a regular person cannot make that decision, the decision that Moshe made. But we have to understand how Moshe was able to make that decision and what the logic was behind Moshe's decision-making process over here. So that's what we're going to explain. So and then look at, so that's number one, the first case. Shiber es haluchos. So the second case is what we said before, that Moshe decided on his own to break the luchos. My darash, what was the logic behind breaking the luchos? Omar, he said, Uma pesach shu echad mishesh me'os u'shlosh esrei mitzvos amra Torah kol ben nechar lo yochal bo. So if by korban pesach, which is one of 613 mitzvos, the Torah says that an apostate is not allowed to eat from the korban, haTorah kula v'Yisrael mumrim alachas kama v'kama, by with regard to the whole Torah, which were the luchos had the whole Torah, and the Jews are mumrim, they're apostates, so even more so, they can't get the whole Torah if they can't eat the korban Pesach. So certainly they can't receive the whole Torah. So again, we saw this in Rashi, but the question that we have on that one is, what's the connection between Pesach and the luchos, and the breaking of the luchos? And in fact, if you look in source number 7, look at the Tosos over there. He asks a question on the Gemara. He says, Torah kula v'Yisrael mumrim. He says, Ein ze kal v'chomer gamor. This isn't a complete kal v'chomer. D'shaini Pesach mishim d'kachim. Pesach is a unique mitzvah because it's kachim, it's korban. Aval kula Torah kula adarabah. But the rest of the Torah, it should be the opposite. Yesh lo l'amda mulach sirem b'tshuva. He should have given them the luchos so that they could do tshuva. So he's asking a good question. What exactly was Moshe thinking that he was so convinced from Korban Pesach because a Ben Nechar, a Jew who's involved in Avodah Zarah, or a Jew who's an apostate, can't eat from the Korban Pesach, he made this decision not to give them the luchos. The Tosfos says, Adarabah, Pesach is unique, it's a special mitzvah, but the whole Torah could have functioned to bring the Jews to do tshuva. So why didn't Moshe give them the luchos? So that's his question. So we're going to have to answer that question as well. And finally, there's one other case. So we said the two cases thus far are that Moshe decided on his own to separate from his wife, and he learned it out from the Jews' preparation for Har Sinai. And the second decision was that he decided to break the luchos, and he learned that out from Pesach, the mitzvah of Pesach. Then finally, the last case, what is it? It's that he added an extra day. He said, alachas kama v'kama, v'eskima daito l'das ha-makom. So Hashem agreed with him with regard to breaking the luchos. Tichsiv asher shibarta. V'amar reish lakish, amar le'a kadosh baruch hu, l'moshe yashar kochacha shibarta. So Hashem said to Moshe, yashar koach, good job that you broke the luchos. So we see from asher, the word asher, which is extra, that it teaches us over there that Hashem agreed to the idea that Moshe had. So one other point, Hosif Yom Echad Midaito. So the last idea, the last independent decision that Moshe made was that when the Jews were preparing for Har Sinai, Hashem only told them 2 days. So Moshe added an extra day. So it says, My Darash, why did he add an extra day? Dichsiv Vikidashtam Hayom Umachar. That Hashem commanded the Jews to prepare themselves this day and the next day. Hayom kemachar, this day like the next day. Ma machar lelo imo. So the next day includes the night with it. It's the day and the night. It's a whole day is a day and a night. Af hayom lelo imo. So too, today would include its night, but the night already passed. V'layla da'idna nafak le. When Moshe received this information, the first night, the night before, was already gone. It was during the daytime. Shmamina, so therefore he added an extra day. Shmamina tre yomi levar ma'idna. Therefore it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted 2 days aside from today. V'eskima daita ledas ha'makom delo shar yashchina ad shabasa. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with this extra day of preparation, and we see that from the fact that the Shechina did not go on Har Sinai until Shabbos. So there's an extra day of preparation. So again, so there's three situations that Moshe decided on his own to act, and Hashem agreed with him. The first is that he separated from his wife. That was unique to Moshe. The second was that he decided to break the luchos. And the third idea was that he added an extra day. So the question is, why did he add an extra day? So if you look in Rashi, this is even stranger. If you look in Rashi in source number 5, it says, Al tikshu al isha, kol shloshes yamim alolo, kadeshu anashim tovlo, siyom ashlishi, vitiyana tahoros, lakabal toro. So he added an extra day because he wanted it that the women should be able to go to the mikvah and be tahor for the presentation of the Torah at Har Sinai. She'im yishamshu toch shloshes yamim, because if they were intimate with their husbands within 3 days, Shema Tiflo Ra'isha Shechva Zera La'achar Tfilaso V'Takhtar V'Titma, because there would be a situation where after the woman went to the mikvah, she could become Tame again. Aval Mishishasa Shloshi Yomim, but the third day that Moshe decided on, Kvar HaZera Masriach V'Ino Roy LaHazriach V'Tar M'Latame Asapoletas, it protects a woman from ever becoming Tame if she goes to the mikvah. So the extra day that Moshe added was in order to protect the women from becoming Tameh when the Torah was given at Har Sinai. So what kind of strange idea is this also? We have to explain this, because there was no Tumah and Tahara. It was before the Torah was given. So why was Moshe so makbid on Tumah and Tahara over here? He's adding an extra day lest there be some type of Tumah that the woman, that when, if a woman were intimate with her husband, that she might become Tameh after she went to the mikvah. I mean, these things, they seem very trivial, especially since the Torah and Tumah and Tahara weren't really established yet, because the Torah wasn't given at Har Sinai, but yet Moshe makes this logical deduction that's important from the Torah itself, but that it's important that women be completely Tahor when they get the Torah. So that is the logic of Moshe. So we have to understand the logic in all these cases. And then finally, one last point before we start answering it a little bit, is that there's another medrash that says that there's one other decision that Moshe made on his own that Hashem agreed to. So if you look in source number 6, it says Vashnia Darash Be'ol Moed. So in the Shmos Rabbah, it has, instead of him adding an extra day, it has a different one. It has that he had a drasha with regard to the Mishkan. The Amar, he said, Uma im Sinai shelo haisa kedushaso ela lishas matan Torah. So since Sinai, the kedusha Sinai was only temporary by matan Torah, lo alisi ela bereshus, I was only able to go up to Har Sinai when Hashem gave me permission. Shenamar vayikra ilav Hashem min ahar lemor. Hashem called Moshe, Oel Moed shehu ledoros. If the Oel Moed is for all generations, heich yachol ani likanes lesocho, how could I just go into it? Eleim kore osia kadosh baruch hu, unless Hashem calls me. V'hiskim l'dayto shenamar v'yikra Moshe v'yidaber Hashem elav me'ol Moed. And Hashem agreed that Moshe shouldn't go into the Oel Moed, into the Mishkan, by himself without Hashem calling him first. And he learned that Moshe decided this, and he learned this idea out from Har Sinai. So this is the fourth decision. So there's a, as I said before, there's a discrepancy amongst the Midrashim, but just to line all up all the decisions, there's four now. The first one was that Moshe separated from his wife. The second one was that Moshe broke the luchos. The third one is that Moshe added an extra day. And the fourth one is that Moshe decided that he can no longer go into the Ohel Moed, go into the Mishkan, to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without being called first by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have to understand the connection between these four decisions, because the Braisos and the Medrash are grouping them all together. So obviously they're trying to teach us something about a relationship between all these decisions, but to try to answer them all at once is impossible. So we're going to focus on the idea that we started the shir with, which is what was the decision to break the luchos, and what was its connection to Pesach, to chukah, to this mitzvah by Pesach. Okay, so that's what we're going to start with. So before we answer it, just to add on and just to tack on more questions, and there'll be one main answer to answer everything, and I think it's a nice answer. But to add to the questions, if you look in source number 8 in the Rambam, so the Rambam says that there are all these tinyos tzibor, fast days that we keep, that the Jewish people keep, and he mentions the reasons for all of them. And Parak Hey Halacha Beis in Tanios, it's on the source sheet, it's source number 8, he says, Eluheim ve'eluhein, these are the fast days, Yom Shlishi b'Tishrei, the third day of Tishrei, Shebo Nera Gedalia ben Achikam, v'nichbeis gachelis Yisrael, v'nishara v'sibeiv l'hasam galusam. So the first fast day is is the fast day of Gedaliah, Tzom Gedaliah, which is right after Rosh Hashanah. And we fast because of the killing of Gedaliah ben Achikam, and he was the last stronghold of the Jews in Israel. The Asiri b'teva shebo samach melech bavel nevuchanetzar rasha yishalayim be'via v'matzor v'matzok. So the 10th of Teves, why do we fast on that day? That's because of the idea of the siege of Nebuchadnezzar by the second, by the first base of Mikdash. V'shivasar b'tamas v'chamisha dvarim irabo. So what about the 17th of Tamas? There are five things that happened. Nishtabru aluchos. So the first thing is that the luchos were destroyed. Ubatel atamid b'bayis rishon. The tamid, the korban tamid, was batel, it was nullified, it was no longer given. That was by the first bias, the first base of Mikdash. V'hufka yushalayim b'chorban sheni. And also, the walls were breached by the second base of Mikdash. V'sarf apostomus harashas haTorah. There was the burning of the Torah by apostomus. V'hamid selim b'heichal. And there was the establishment of an idol in the heichal. So we see from the Rambam that one of the reasons why we fast on the 17th of Tammuz is because the luchos were broken by Moshe. So this adds to the strength of the question, because we saw from the Gemara and Rashi that Moshe wasn't told to break the luchos. He decided it on his own. And his decision was based on some idea that he had about Korban Pesach, about one mitzvah by Mitzvahs Pesach, which Toso says is pretty crazy, because how do you compare the whole Torah to Pesach? Pesach was kachim, it's unique. So how could he make that decision? And the aftermath of that decision became a reason for us to fast. So obviously it was tremendous. The loss of the luchos is now a reason for us, one of the five reasons for us fasting on Shavuos Arba Tamos. So how can Moshe be so confident in this idea that he had about destroying the luchos to the point where it had this such a strong effect on Klal Yisrael that now we fast on Shavuos Arba Tamos? And one of the reasons why we fast is for the luchos. So how could he do that? How could he make such a strong decision? And how was he so confident? What idea did he see from Korban Pesach that led him to breaking the luchos? So let's keep going also a little bit more. There's a couple interesting midrashim about the luchos, and I think we'll answer all these midrashim or try to understand them with the answer that we're going to give. So if you look in source number 9, we already read this pasuk inside. It says, Valuchos ma'asei Elohim heima v'amichtav michtav Elohim hu charus al haluchos. So the luchos were created by God directly. They weren't man-made. And the michtav, the writings themselves, were directly from God engraved on the luchos. So the Gemara, looking at the Torah Tzmima in source number 10, he says, Valuchos ma'asei Elohim. So what does it mean that the luchos were the byproduct of Hashem? So he says that they were, why does the Torah specify that they were made by Hashem? It means that they were made even from early, from creation. So they were a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even from early on, from the time of creation itself. So we have to understand what's, now it makes it stronger, the question. How could Moshe destroy these luchos, which are really a byproduct of creation? But also, why was it necessary that the luchos be a creation that occurred back then, a creation that occurred with the creation of the world? So why is that necessary? And then finally, there's one last interesting medrash about the luchos. In source number 11, it says, Charus ala luchos, Amor Rav Acha bar Yaakov, il male nishtabru luchos harishonos, lo haisa kol uma v'lashon sholetes b'Yisrael. If not for the luchos, the first luchos being destroyed or broken by Moshe, then no nation or tongue would ever be able to be dominant over Klal Yisrael. Shnemar charus al luchos. The Torah says charus, al tikre charus, don't read it as engraved, elacherus, they would be free. The Jews would always be free from any enemy. So this medrash is also, it's in, I think it's in Gemara Erevin. So the medrash says, this Gemara says, that if the Jews had received the luchos, that it would have been so strong or powerful that the Jews would never have been dominated by any other nation. They would always be in control. There would never ever be another nation that could ever dominate them. So the question on that is, why? Why is that the case? What's the connection between the luchos and that? And would that just be supernatural? Would it be hashgacha? And why were the luchos so integral in terms of producing that result? And then again, it even adds to the idea that Moshe must have seen in the mitzvah of Pesach that the Jews lost all of this. We fast on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. We lost the Maaseh Elohim, we also lost the ability to be completely free from any other nation dominating us. So Moshe, in his decision, his independent decision, according to the Gemara, and Rashi quotes it, and the Medrash also, according to all those Chazals, Moshe made an independent choice to destroy the Luchos, and it was praised or it was agreed upon by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but because of it, we have all these bad things that happened. We have to fast on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz because of the loss, and the loss was so great that the Jews would have been free for all of eternity. They never would have been dominated by any other nation. So how do we explain all this? How can Moshe make such a decision? What was the logic? What was the idea that Moshe saw that was so unique to Korban Pesach that he could apply it to this situation? And what's the connection between all those cases that we mentioned before? And what does it even mean? We'll explain at the end. What does it mean that he made these decisions independently? Why does it have to be independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Okay, so I think we'll explain all these ideas, hopefully. Okay? So how do we go about understanding it? So let's look at the psukim by the prohibition of a ben echar, of a Jew who doesn't keep the Torah, who's an apostate, from eating the Korban Pesach. So if you look in source number 12, it's Shemos Perek Yud Beis, and it says in Mem Gimel, Pasuk Mem Gimel, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'Aaron, Zos Chukas ha-Pasach, Kol ben echar lo yochal bo. So these are the laws of Korban Pesach. And this is the first one mentioned. Kol ben nechar lo yochobal. Any, we'll see what a ben nechar. I'm just going to say ben nechar cannot eat from the Pesach, but we'll see what that means. V'chol eved ish miknas kasef umalta oso az yochobal. And any eved, any slave that you have that was purchased, you have to do mila on him. You have to circumcise him in order to eat the Korban Pesach. So the first mitzvah over here, the first chukah, is the idea that a ben nechar is not allowed to eat the Pesach. And that was what Moshe used. This pasuk is what Moshe used to learn out that he should break the luchos. So what's the connection? So if you look in the Targum Unkelus on that pasuk, he says like this: Amar Hashem leMoshe of Aaron, Dog Zeras Pischa. These are the laws of the Pesach. Kol Bar Yisrael Diyishtamad Lo Yechol Be. Any Jew, a Bar Yisrael is a Jew who is Yishtamad, who's an apostate. Lo Yechol Be. He cannot eat from the Korban Pesach. So a ben nechar is referring to a Jew. And if you look in source number 14, Rashi says, Zos chukas ha-pesach b'yadal b'nisan nemra lahem parshazu. This was said to them on the 14th of Nisan. Kol ben nechar shenis nachru ma'asav la'aviv shebashamayim. So what is a ben nechar? Ben nechar is a person whose actions are estranged to Hashem. Ve'echa nachri ve'echa Yisrael meshumad b'mashma. So the Torah is... The Torah is emphasizing either a non-Jew or a Jew who is a meshumad, who is an apostate, whose actions are estranged to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Jew who openly doesn't keep the Torah, who doesn't hold of the Torah, so that Jew, he cannot eat from the Korban Pesach. And the Rambam says a little bit different, but not so different. The Rambam says in Halacha Perek, in Hilchos Korban Pesach, Perek Tes, Halacha Zayin, this is source number 15, Hamachil Kezayis Min HaPesach, Bein mi pesach sheni lemumar la'avodah zarah. So if you feed a mumar la'avodah zarah, a Jew who openly does avodah zarah, he's not apologetic, from the Korban Pesach or from the Korban Pesach sheni, o leger toshav, o lesachir, or to a non-Jew who keeps the Sheva mitzvos, or to a sachir, just a regular guy, hareze over below sasev ein aloka. So you're over an Isser, because the Torah says you're not allowed to do it, but you don't get Malkus. Aval makin oso makas mardus, but you do get Malkus midrabanan. Uven nechar, so he says, Uben nechar, what's a ben nechar? Ha'amar b'torah, zeha oved el nechar. So the Ram says that a ben nechar is a Jew, or anybody, who worships a foreign god. Ve'ein machilin mimenu l'nachri, afilu kier toshav, o sachir, shenemar toshav, v'sachir, lo yochal bo. And you can't feed a non-Jew, even a ger toshav, or a sachir, you can't feed any of them from the Korban Pesach. It's an isser, it's a prohibition to give them a kezayis of Korban Pesach. So what's the connection? What's the idea that Moshe saw in this one prohibition that led to him deciding to break the luchos? Right? So I think the answer is that if you look in source number 16. So I think this is the answer. The answer is, if you look by Mila, the Torah uses Ben Nechar in one other place. It's by Mila. It says, Uven shmonos yamim yimolachem kol zachar l'dor seichem yilid bayis v'miknas kasef mikol ben nechar asher lo mizarachahu. It says by Mila that the mitzvah of milah is that a Jew has to, he has to circumcise his son, anybody that's born in his house, and any eved that he owns that comes, that's a ben nechar, that's not from your seed. And if you look in the Unklus over there, he says, Ubar tamanya yomen yigzar lechon kol dechura. When your son is 8 days old, you're supposed to circumcise any male, the darechon, for all generations. Yilid besa, those that are born in your house, uzvine kaspa, those that you've purchased, mikol bar amamin, from any other nation, from any person, from any other nation. So ben nechar, Unklus says, is bar amamin, delo bibenachu, that's not from your children. So if you look over there in source number 17, the word ben nechar by mila is bar amamin in Unklus. It means somebody from another nation. But if you look in by Pesach, it says the same exact lashon, ben nechar. So Unklus says it's a Jew, it's a bar Yisrael d'ishtambad. And the halacha is based on that. The Gemara says that it's a bar Yisrael d'ishtambad. It's a Jew that does a vodazara according to the Rambam, or a Jew who's not keeping, whose maisav are nisnakru lavav shabashamayim, as Rashi said, echad nachri v'echad Yisrael. But you see by Unklus that the Torah uses the same phrase, ben nechar, to refer to a Jew by Korban Pesach, a Jew who's doing a Avodah Zarah. And also by Mila, the Torah uses ben nechar, but he interprets it as ben amamin. It's a foreigner, an actual foreigner, a person, a non-Jew, who's not from our nation. So what do we see from there? So I think that this is the insight that Moshe had. See, Moshe understood that from Korban Pesach, that a Jew thinks, or a Jew might think, that he has an intrinsic, inherent connection to Korban Pesach. Because our national heritage and our history is so intertwined with leaving Mitzrayim, with Yetzias Mitzrayim, that it's almost natural for a Jew to feel an intrinsic right or an entitlement to partake of the Korban Pesach. It happened to my family. My family left Mitzrayim. I should be able to partake of this mitzvah. Even if I don't keep the Torah, even if I'm involved in Avodah Zarah, I should have a right to be involved in Korban Pesach. And the Torah is teaching us a very unique idea. It's teaching us that the essence of the Jew's connection to Korban Pesach is not innate. It's not because of our family. It's not because of our genealogy. It's because of our philosophy. And you see from Unklus that a Jew with a false philosophy, with a philosophy of Avodah Zarah, is equivalent to a non-Jew. Completely equivalent. Rashi says it openly. He says that Echad Nachri v'Echad Yisrael Meshumad b'Mashma, that they're equal. There's no difference between a Jew's relationship to Korban Pesach, a Jew who does Avodah Zarah, and a non-Jew's relationship. They're just as foreign to Korban Pesach. So a Jew might think that he's entitled to Korban Pesach, that he has a right to Korban Pesach, by virtue of the fact that his family and our ancestors experienced Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Torah is telling us that if you're a Jew that does Avodah Zarah, you're a foreigner vis-a-vis Korban Pesach. You have no relationship at all to Korban Pesach, similar to the guy. You're just as equal to a guy, to a non-Jew, with regard to his relationship to Korban Pesach. The Jew who's doing Avodah Zarah is equivalent to that. So that's what Moshe understood from Korban Pesach. So that idea, I think, is what Moshe was going through Moshe's mind when he broke the Luchos, based on the Medrash. I think Moshe understood that the Jews, in accepting the Torah, they had to understand that they didn't have an inherent right to the Torah. They weren't entitled to the Torah by virtue of the fact that they came from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That is a prerequisite for getting the Torah. You need to be a Jew to eat the Korban Pesach, but you're just as far into the Torah as a guy if you don't have the correct philosophy of Torah. And Moshe understood that idea. He understood that the Jews, when they were involved in the Egel and they were involved in Avodah Zarah, they were just as foreign to Torah as the non-Jew was to Torah. They were no different than a non-Jew vis-a-vis Torah. And Moshe, see, the Gemara says over there, we said by the Luchos, that the Luchos were really special. And it says, the Gemara says that if Moshe had given the Luchos to the Jews, so no nation would ever be dominant over them. So what does that mean? It means Moshe understood that the Luchos would give the Jews a tremendous confidence. I don't know if it's necessarily supernatural. It doesn't mean hashgacha necessarily, but it could also be that if the Jews had gone through Har Sinai and they received the Luchos and everything was completely free of any problems, so it would have resulted in tremendous confidence and a part of the Jewish people moving forward. And it would be a good confidence if the Jews had the correct philosophy, they could put that confidence and attach that confidence to the philosophy of Torah. But Moshe understood that if he gave them the luchos and they were involved in Avodah Zarah, it would result in them feeling an innate entitlement, an innate connection to Torah, and that's not what Torah is about. Torah is not about any innate entitlement or innate connection. It's about the philosophy that a person has. So a Jew can be just as a Jew can be. You can be from Avram. You can trace your lineage back to anybody you want. But if your philosophy is Avodah Zarah, if you don't believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you don't believe in Torah Misinai, so if you don't believe in those things, you're just as foreign. And for anybody to think that they're entitled to Torah, or they have a connection to Torah without the correct philosophy, so that's dangerous. And Moshe understood that if the Luchos were given to the Jews in the state that they were in with their false philosophy, it would precipitate a sense that we're entitled to this, that our connection to the Torah is innate, and we're entitled to the Torah, and because we're Jews, because we came from Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov, so that's why the Torah is ours. When in fact, at that moment, they were just as far into the Torah as a non-Jew would be to getting the Torah, to receiving the Torah. And that's what Moshe understood, and that was the Kal Vachomer that Moshe had. So what does it mean? So what's the connection between all these cases, and what does it mean that Moshe decided on his own? So what is that? What does that mean? So I think if you look to the story of Moshe separating from his wife, so that was the famous story in Baal Oscha in source number 18. It says that Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe in a negative way. It says, "Vatzedaber Miriam b'Aaron b'Moshe al adosa isha kushis asher lakach ki isha kushis lakach." So they spoke about Moshe's separation from his wife. Vayomru harak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem halo gambanu diber vayishma Hashem. So they said that, didn't Hashem speak with us? He didn't just speak with Moshe. And then in Gimel it says, "Va'ish Moshe anav me'od mikol adam asher apnei adama." So Moshe was the most anav. He was the most humble person from all mankind, from all of humanity. And the Sifri says over there that on Va'ish Moshe, he says in source number 19, "Va'ish Moshe anav me'od melamed shaya gibor be'anava." He was courageous in his anivus, in his humility. Uminayin ata omer Shaya Gibor Banava, the Kachaya Gibor Bigvura, Tamalomar Ha'ish Va'ish. Just like a person could be courageous in battle and be physically courageous, Moshe was courageous in his humility. What does that mean, that he was courageous in his humility? So I think over there, that was this whole story of, or it's the Torah is giving us insight into why Moshe, or what Moshe saw to separate from his wife, which is that his anivus was the basis for these decisions. So how was the basis for these decisions? So in all these decisions, Moshe's premise is that man can never feel an idea that he has a right or an entitlement to connecting with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you see that from all these situations, because Moshe, in deciding to separate from his wife, he simply compares himself to the Klal Yisrael, and he says, just like Klal Yisrael separate from their wives, so too, if I want to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I should separate from my wife. He did not say to himself, I am different from Klal Yisrael, I have an innate connection to God, I don't have to change my actions, or I don't have to perfect myself more so, because God loves me, and I have a connection with him. No, he looked at the experience of Har Sinai, and he looked at it as a microcosm of his own experience, and he simply, all he wanted to do was relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he wasn't complacent. He never felt inherent or an innate connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if he were entitled to that experience of Peh El Peh. And it's the same thing with the idea that the Medrash says, that he said, Vayikra Elav, that he would not go into the Ohel Moed by himself without being called, meaning he recognized that he didn't have a right to speak to God, that he always had to be called by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So same thing with Machar. Why did he add an extra day? It wasn't about the Tumah and Tahara. It's the idea that man can never feel fully prepared. He can never feel prepared, completely prepared. He has to add extra preparation, because you can never feel complacent in being in the presence of God, in actually approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he had to add an extra day to demonstrate that idea that man cannot feel that way. He should never feel complacent. He should never feel prepared. He should never feel like he has a right to it based on his preparation. He should always feel like he needs to do more. He should always feel like he's not intrinsically entitled to that experience. And the same idea was recognized in the Shvir Saluchos, that Moshe understood that had he given the luchos to the Jews, they would have felt that way. They would have felt an inherent entitlement to Torah, an inherent connection, when the reality is, from Korban Pesach, it shows you that a Jew is not connected to the Torah if he's an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. It's being a Jew and being connected to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is a prerequisite, but the essence of a Jew is really our philosophy. It's not really our lineage. It's not our experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's just simply our philosophy and what we believe in. And that's really the essence of what makes us a Jew. And if we believe anything else, if we believe that we're entitled to a connection innately because of our lineage, because of our experience, so that's a flaw, and that's a tremendous flaw, and that's why Moshe knew that he had to break the luchos. If the luchos were given to the Jews, that would have happened. The Jews would have been destroyed by that experience. So it's true that there was a big, great loss through Moshe's destruction of the luchos, but it would have been far worse for Klal Yisrael if they would have gotten the luchos in the state that they were in because of the distortion that would have emerged from that experience. Okay? So that's really the shiur tonight. So let me just summarize. I know it was like a lot of points here. But so the main question that we had was, why did Moshe break the luchos? Why did he do it? So Rashi quotes the Gemara and the Medrash that he saw some idea in Korban Pesach, the fact that a Jew who does Avodah Zarah, according to the Rambam, or a Jew whose actions are estranged to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Rashi says, based on the Gemara, that he can't eat Korban Pesach. So we have to understand what that connection is. What idea did Moshe gain from that mitzvah, Pesach, especially since Tosos asks a great question. He says Pesach was unique. It's a unique mitzvah. It's kachem. It's korban. It's special. But the whole Torah, maybe Moshe should have given it to them because they would have done tshuva. So that's our main question. But also we saw that in the Gemara has all these other decisions that Moshe made independently. And there are many decisions. One was that he added an extra day to the preparation of the Jews. He destroyed the luchos, which we mentioned before. He separated from his wife. And finally, the idea that he wouldn't go into the Ohel Moed without being called. And he learned that out from Har Sinai. So we have to understand, is there at least a broad approach, a connection that we can make between all these decisions that Moshe made? And so that's what we wanted to understand. So then we try to understand the loss of the luchos. And the luchos loss was great because we fast for them. The Gemara say that not only did we lose the luchos themselves, but we lost an opportunity to be dominant and to never be controlled by any other nation. And the luchos were Ma'is Elokim. They were very special. So why did Moshe destroy the luchos if they could have had such, or they were so important and they were so special? So then we went into the idea of the Pesach. Why can a Ben Nechar not eat Pesach? So we answered that the Ben Nechar, the idea of a Ben Nechar not eating Pesach is the concept that a Jew is no different than a non-Jew if the Jew's philosophy is based on Avodah Zarah, is based on falsity. So a Jew wants to feel, especially by Pesach, it's a Kal V'chomer from Pesach, because the Pesach was the most experiential on the part of us from a cultural standpoint, from a historical standpoint. So we would want to feel an inherent connection, a relationship to the Korban, but the Torah is telling us that you're just as foreign as a guy if you have the wrong philosophy. If you're an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, you're a Ben Nechar. And we saw that from the fact that the Torah uses Ben Nechar by Mila to refer to a non-Jew completely, outright, a foreigner. So too by Pesach, a Jew who's involved in Avodah Zarah is a Ben Nechar relative to Pesach. He's a non-Jew relative to Pesach. So all that experiential, all the lineage, all the history, it means nothing. You're just completely foreign to the Korban if your philosophy is a foreign philosophy. So we explained that Moshe saw that when the Jews were involved in the Egel, they were involved in Avodah Zarah, and had he given them the Luchos, it would have produced or resulted in a confidence that the Jews would have had, but the confidence would have been misplaced. It was really meant that the confidence be placed in the ideas and the philosophy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's where the confidence stemmed from. And the idea of Ma'is Elokim would add to that. The idea of God as a creator, being Nicker in the Torah, would have added to the confidence of the Jews that they were constantly, that they were involved in the Torah. But Moshe saw that if he had given it to them, that confidence would have been attached to an innate feeling of entitlement to the Torah. And that was destructive, and that would have led ultimately to a worse result, a distortion. So we said that also that at the end, we saw that all these decisions seemed to only emerge from Moshe because of a unique quality of his anivas, that Moshe was able to not view himself and the Jewish people as having that innate sense of relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and instead he saw for himself, he saw Har Sinai as a microcosm of his own experiences, and he never demonstrated a complacency and a feeling or a sense that he earned it or he deserved to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's constantly working on himself and perfecting himself in order to achieve that, but he never feels a sense of complacency. And so too by the Jews, he had to add an extra day to demonstrate that, man should never feel complacent in approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by the Shviras HaLuchos too, he understood that had he given the Luchos to the Jews, they would have felt that way, and that would have been destructive ultimately to the Jewish people. All right, so anybody have any questions? All right, so tonight's shiur, again, was in memory of my daughter, Avigail, and I think philosophically, or I guess in the Torah's idea here is a very important idea in terms of preparing for Pesach, that it's the idea that Moshe highlighted, which is that we want to feel that our Jewishness is part of us. It's really part of our lineage or part of our genealogy, but we should focus on the philosophy of the Torah, the philosophy of belief in one God and the philosophy of the mitzvos. In order for us to have real confidence, we have to attach our sense of security not to our history, not to our culture, not to our lineage, but to our philosophy. And that's really the essence that Moshe was highlighting. And the other idea, which is a more Musar idea, is that man should never feel that he's innately connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We always have to feel, we can never feel complacent, that we deserve it, that we've earned it. We always have to work on ourselves and view ourselves as not having a right to that relationship, but feeling as if we've been privileged with that relationship, not feeling like we have a right to it. And those are the ideas that Moshe was really highlighting in the breaking of the Luchos. All right, so everybody have a good night and have a good Shabbos. Thank you.